Oh, what a beautiful day. And you know, we see the effect of the sun on our planet, and it's just amazing what this planet does on its own. I mean, it grows things on its own. I mean, it just happens. If we disappeared, the planet would just turn green all over the place. And all the asphalt and all the concrete would just be broken up. You know, we've got a sidewalk out here that this tree next to us is trying to uproot. I mean, that's just the way God works, and it's the way He planned things to work. And so when the scripture says that in the new kingdom, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we won't need the sun because we'll have the glory of God. We're talking the glory right now. And so everything that we see in the natural is like God a million times, a bazillion times. There is power, there is strength, there is provision, there is multiplication in the glory of God. And we are basking in that glory. We are those who have received that assignment. And in that assignment, He is hedged about us. It is His glory that is about us. And it is that glory that promotes our growth. It promotes what we have been called to do. And it's like a spiritual law that if we would just let go and let God, as they say, there would be exponential spiritual growth in us that we are now experiencing as we have pursued His heart as sons. And so I'm just thankful for each of you and each of the saints across this globe for how God is moving on them in such a magnificent way and miraculous ways. And so I just speak that understanding and that vision over everybody that is pursuing God's heart. And you know, we have truly experienced a lot of physical anomalies, and just how many knee surgeries can we count? You know, there is you know, vision that's being restored, and vision that is being into the spirit realm like we've never seen before. So we are truly experiencing God's full glory, and there's no need for any other sunshine, any other enlightenment, so to speak. And so here we are. We have been in the framework of Baka. We have been privileged to partner in a new way that we have been shown. And it's a privilege to stand before the throne of God and to participate with the Father in this deep, meaningful, this deep relational thing as we cry unto Him in this Baka. And so in this, we have developed our hearing of God's voice so that we are able to align ourselves for the purpose that we have been prepared for since creation. And it's mind-boggling to me to think that of all the billions of people that have inhabited this earth, and each one had separate personalities, each one had separate and individual needs and desires and wants and conditions and atmospheres that they grew up in, that God was mindful of them as He is mindful of me right now. And that is a very personal, He knows me better than I know myself. And it's the same as for each of you. He knows who you are. He knows where you've come from. He knows what he's placed in you to be activated, and he is ready to bring that activation. And so this Baka is really that strengthening of our realization of what God wants us to be and to do, and to really ask to call forth the things that he has planned for us to have for this time, for this season, for this day, for this hour. Lord, what do you want me to be activated in right now? I am saying yes to it, and I will follow it. I will be what you want me to be. So when we are bakaing, we are insisting on his purpose being fulfilled through whatever means he has prepared before the beginning of time. And that boggles my mind. And I just have to say, Holy Spirit, let it be. I don't understand how that works. I don't understand how he can separate so much. But he has. And I am living in that. So this time of fulfilling God's purpose, we are really allowing him to strip away things so that we become more sensitive. That was never more demonstrated to me than this past weekend when we were up in Georgia and it went down to below freezing. I would think it was 25 something ridiculous degrees, and I wanted to go out and fix some things on Nan and Pop's house before we left, and I realized I didn't have enough layers. I needed more clothing. And what was exposed to the air became very numb and very difficult to realize I was holding anything. You know, do I really have that screw, or is it my hand just froze? Anyhow, so when we take off those things that are protecting us and insulating us from the things we don't understand, or from any kind of feelings of being denied or not being used, and we begin to be more sensitive. We begin to understand the purpose of the Father. And when we allow his voice, the voice of Adonai, the voice who is placing us where we are supposed to be our influence, to be our directive. And so it is the process of exposing the things that are going to cause us to be in mourning. And this is what Isaiah 12:22 is talking about. It's giving us a progression. And the first one was Dar Baka, and the second one is this mourning. So the Lord was directing me to really focus on the concept of what this mourning is. It's going to be coming up this next week. And in conjunction with our meeting around the Lord's table. So when we look at Isaiah 12:22, just to remind ourselves what he said, "And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth." Now, we've heard this teaching about how, Israel was in a position where, the enemy was going to surround them soon. And they were going to have to rely on God to deliver them. And it was one of those dire things where if God didn't do it, they were going to die. And so this has always been our mantra. We need to depend on God, because if he doesn't do it, we're just going to die. And when we function in that concept, the miraculous can happen. If we are content, if we're happy, if we're not moving forward, then we're not going to be, we're going to see anything that infringes on that comfort as an irritant, as something we want to stay away from, when actuality, it's that forming us. It is God transforming us into those vessels that will be adequate for what he's prepared for us. And we have to know, of course, that God is always preparing for us to move forward. And this is the table of grace. This is where we come and we say yes to what God's doing. So as we continue in this coming week to prepare for the prayer outreach in Brazil, we want to look at this word for mourning that Isaiah talked about. And it comes from the word kafad. And it speaks of tearing the hair out or beating the breast. It speaks of lamenting or wailing in some measure of grief. And certainly, when the world thinks of mourning, that's what they go to. And it seems a little extreme to be tearing your hair out. And for some of us, it's a little more difficult than others to grab hold of that really short things. I'm not looking at anybody about Ricky's haircut. I will go get there. Don't worry. But when we come before God as sons, this morning speaks of this intense passion that has come from our baka. Mourning is an indication that something is now over and you are ready to move forward into something new, and you are vigorously participating with the Father to lay down everything to bring the new thing into fruition, to be part of what is being done. Now, in the New Testament, mourning is the word pasco. And it is used to describe the passion of Christ. And this passion is where Jesus committed himself as the Son of God to suffer death on the cross to bring redemption to mankind. So it is a primary verb that talks about the experiencing of a sensation or an impression that is usually painful. It's usually going to be felt in a negative way. But this word, pasco, is used to describe the process through which Jesus learned obedience. This is what we are being called to do. It is the process by which we learn to walk obediently with the Father that fulfills his will. It is the way we are being perfected. It is the way we are being transformed so that we can move into that place that is going to demand more things than we have right now. It means that we have laid aside imperfection and we are now perfected. We are now functioning in a new way. We are now functioning in a way that God is able to lay upon us a burden that is prepared just for us. We look at Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9. He says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And this is the suffering, this word is pasco. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, here's an interesting side note, is that this author, this word for author, is the word aiteos. And this aiteos comes from the word aiteo. Does that sound familiar? Remember, aiteo speaks of serving someone in authority and asking on behalf of what that authority wants. And this is our privilege in our time of prayer. We can aiteo by the perfection of the blood of Jesus upon who we are, upon our hearts. And we are perfected by this sprinkling of the blood. And we are moving forward in the new thing God has prepared for us to be from the foundation of the world. So we are, in our time of intercessions, are in supplication and are able then to attail what God wants, what he has planned for. And through this learning process of Pasco, we are able to see what Adonai is doing, and we are to ask and are asking him for what we need to fulfill and to participate with him in what he's doing. And so we are able then in this atel to be really speaking from the depth of who we are, the passion that is within us, and to insist on his purpose being fulfilled as we truly allow him to apply us in this new assignment. So after his resurrection, Jesus caught up with two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, who were showing obvious signs of being sad because they had just seen the man whom they were trusting to be the Messiah killed on the cross and buried in the tomb. We know this story well. In Luke 24, 25 through 26, Jesus responded to their explanation of why they were sad. So then he, or Jesus, said unto them, O fools, and he wasn't really belittling them. This word fools was just saying, you who don't have an idea what's going on, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered, this is our word, Pasco, these things, and to enter into his glory? So, in other words, Jesus was asking, how is it that you didn't believe the prophets who said that the Messiah had to lay down his life to go through a painful experience in order to enter into the glory that God had planned for him to be who God made him to be as the Messiah? So this Pasco, as that intense experience is what is coming to us when we say yes to the Lord's specific assignment. We have to know that specific assignment is going to demand from us to allow his Spirit to change us, because we have been reserved from the beginning of creation for this time, and it's not as we are, but as he is changing us into from glory to glory. And so when we say yes, we are going to experience the effects of how we have to die to self. It's not an adaptation of the glory we have now to the glory that's coming. It is releasing the glory we have now so that we can embrace the glory that's coming. We come always as with nothing in our hands. And we've talked about this. We know this. But yet it's hard to keep in our minds focus when we're facing these changes. Our natural self wants to hang on to what's comfortable. Our natural self wants to continue on in what we know so that we can know we're successful. And we kind of shy away from those things that we do that don't seem like they're accomplishing anything. And so when we say yes, we are really setting aside our vision of success for the Lord's righteous vision. That valley of decision, that place of seeing what the Lord is doing so that we can move forward into the mountain of what God has for us. So here's an interesting point. Scholars have looked at and talked about the association of mourning with ashes. in their research about customs in the day, ashes at any time when somebody sat in them and put ashes on their heads, it should have prophetically demonstrated the welcoming of the new thing to come. Although that's not what always happened. Yet that is the concept. So when a transition comes, what we used to be has to become as ashes. And as ashes, it needs to be blown away. And this is where we have to be willing to say to the Father, this is not my control. This is not under my authority. This is not something that I have control over. This is not my kingdom. This is your kingdom, and it's your will to be done, and I'm submitting to that, and everything that I have, I am looking at as ashes to be blown away. And here's the thing that we need to keep in mind, that as we submit to the provision or to the to what God wants to do through us and with us, is that as this assignment has been formed, there has also been formed a supply and giftings that goes along with this, that will make this assignment a reality and a success in the kingdom of God. So not only have you been destined for something that's specific, you have been provided for and sent those things that are needed at that point, in that time. So our commune around this table of grace is really about God showing you more of what you have been created to do and the things that He has, that He is going to provide so that you can accomplish His will. And what He shows you is not beyond your scope of understanding or above your pay grade. You know, probably one of the most difficult times of reckoning in my life in the Spirit is seeing myself as something other than I am. As seeing me moving forward in a new capacity and thinking, how can that be? How can that be possible? From what I know now, how can I move forward and be effective in a new venue, in a new place of authority, in a new place of responsibility? And so there is a trepidation or a fear that can build up in those kinds of thoughts. And even a hesitation at moving forward and saying, am I really supposed to do that? I don't feel comfortable. I feel a check in my spirit. So we need to come to understand that when we are moving into that next step on our forward motion in fulfilling our mission, our mourning is what is required. Our allowing ourselves to be transformed, to be pared down, to become truly as dust, and to become contrite before the Father, because it is this dust that allows us to ask in an ateo fashion to move forward and to move upward. It is a process of being perfected and not a condition of sadness. Mourning is not about regretting or feeling sad about losing our position, but it is really a making ourselves available in a progression of transition. You know, we make a step and we move forward and we begin to transform and we begin to make application of things that we know and become trustful in what God has prepared. And so we are caught up, and being contrite is really that stripping away of what is keeping us from becoming completely supplied with all that we need to be successful in the kingdom. We want to be successful on behalf of the Father. We want to be overcomers. Our warfare, we want to be effective against the enemy. We want that partnership with Adonai. We want to receive his placement. We want to flourish in that place. We want to have his hand upon us at all times and to be vigorously and powerfully functioning in whatever warfare there is and whatever maintaining of his ground that has been taken back. So, to become all that God has created us to be, yeah, it's essential that we become as dust, that we become contrite. And in this, we are able to be caught up in the winds of God. And this is an aspect of mourning. This is part of what that mourning is all about. And contrition is what enables us to be gathered into the secret place of thunders. It is about us saying, I will become dust before you, Father. You look for that kind of person, and I'm going to be that kind of person. I'm going to come up to you. I'm going to be caught up to you in this way. And so this process of mourning is about us surrendering what has been done for the Lord and presenting it to him. And you know, this is going to be part of that baldness that we just referred to just a minute ago. And you know, hopefully we'll have some thoughts on that next week to lead us into understanding more about that. And this is what God is expecting. This is what he wants from us. This is what he has planned for us. This is what he's been revealing as how we are to be moving forward in our attitude and our way that we are to look upon this whole thing. We are to embrace his eternal plan. And this eternal plan is what's beginning right now. It starts now. And there's no more convenient time than right now. So this concept of mourning is an indication that something is now over and you are ready to move forward into something new. This is an occasion where we need to be aware of the potential for bitterness to creep in. You know, if we handle mourning the way God wants, which is ending something and being committed to what and is coming and to welcome the new, we're going to move forward in grace. But if we don't honor that, if we become bitter because we can't stay where we are, if we become disappointed because we're not in the place that other people are, or if we're not recognized for something that we feel like we've done well in, yeah, it'll go right into bitterness and it will stop us in our tracks. It will mire us down to where we cannot hear the voice of God, or if we do, we'll ignore it. So, really, mourning is about learning the processes of how to walk on the path of righteousness. It is what will bring his glory. This is what Scripture says here. It'll bring his glory. It's what brought Jesus into the glory of God. It was his entry into his privilege of partnering with God to redeem creation. Everything that Jesus did brought him in closer and closer to that final moment where it was finished. Everything that had to be done was completed. And the glory was there. This word glory we know to be the word kabod. And we know that it talks about the weightiness of God's burden. And it demonstrates the path and the depth and the power of God. And this glory is ours to step into as well. We are entering into the birthing of His eternal plan. We are giving ourselves to participating in the fiery passion to unleash His functioning in power, in grace. So we see that Adonai is looking for us to understand and obey what we are gleaning from His heart, what we have gleaned from His right hand, what we are understanding from the Logos. We are going through the process of preparing to leave the old ways. No matter how successful they were, we are preparing to move into a new thing that God has ordained for us. We are moving from glory to glory, something that has been specifically assigned to you in a personal way. And in that assignment, you are going to affect the body of Christ. There will be a bringing forth of the body together to move as one. We are stepping into the Father's fiery passion to redeem His creation. And so it is in this frame of mind that we have gathered around the Lord's table, that we gather around this table of grace. This table of grace needs to be where we commune with the Father to assure Him that we are going to do whatever He wants. We want to assure Him that we will be whatever our life has been saved for. That we are assuring Him that we are the dust that He can catch up. We are assuring Him that we are the ones that He can use. We are assuring Him that we are the ones that He can call into His place of thunder. And so as He transitions and changes things in the valley of the vision, we place the past in the past. And we are truly embracing what is before us. In fact, we are celebrating that already, even though it's not as though it was, as though it is. We're embracing the new thing that lies before us. Amen. So, meeting around the table of grace this morning, I really feel like the Lord is wanting to transform each of us in a specific way. That there are things that He wants to add to who we are. And this needs to be a time of saying yes to even laying down whatever we might be holding on to as our identity and saying, I want now no identity but what You give me. Whatever has identified me in the past, I now lay that down and receive the new thing. So I feel like we need to come and take the bitter sop that really says, you know, whatever we were expecting, you know, we want only expecting what You want. And then take the bread and the cup and let's come back to our seats and that we might take communion together as a unit, as a single body in the place that Adonai has placed us, so that all that we are is melted together in all that we are. That makes sense. We will be the body. We will be the body of Christ as we take these emblems this morning. So let's just come forward. Let's dip in the bitter sop, preparing our hearts, and bring the bread and the cup back to your seat, and we'll we'll sup together. Amen. Okay. Let's do that now. We have in our hand the bread without leaven, and we realize that nothing is reliant on the way things have always been done. It's fresh, it's as it is before the Lord. And we want to believe the Father for the new thing. And we want to thank the Father for making us the body of Christ. And what he is getting ready to do, not only in us, but with us all together in one. He's going to be taking us further into what we have been created to do. And we want to thank him for perfecting his son through what he suffered. And we want to thank him for what we are about to go through, that we will be formed into what he needs for us to partner with him. Let us take this bread together in thanksgiving for how we have been formed for this moment. Father, thank you for what you're leading us to get ready to do. And we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to be fully prepared, fully ready to move forward in a very, very confident way. And so we take this cup that is of our commissioning, that holds the blood of sprinkling, that every part that needs to be changed can be changed and will be changed. Father, let it touch in every way each of us as we are in need. And let it activate every area that has perhaps been dormant to this point. And so we thank you, Father, for what this cup represents, and we take it now in that understanding. Thank you, Lord. We give you all glory. We give you all glory. There is none beside you. We give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, we speak of these things, and we say, Amen.